If you've got your Bible with you this morning, please take it and turn to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. This morning we come to one of my heroes in the scriptures, and his name is Elijah, that mighty prophet of God in the Old Testament. I want to read of an event that happened right at the outset of his public ministry. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 reads, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that there thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this day. As I said already, Elijah is one of my heroes in God's word. He's one I like to look to, and we can think, if you mention the name Elijah, immediately many may think of his great take on Mount Carmel when he stood up against the 450 prophets of Baal. I may even consider the events where he came to Ahab and declared it would not rain. And he prayed and it didn't rain for those 3.5 years. And he would pray again. You may even think how the Lord took him up home. And he left them, took him up in those chariots of fire. But you know, we consider this morning where we've come upon Elijah in the scriptures. We find that, as he is mentioned here, he's in the place called the Brook Cherith. The Brook Cherith. And I believe this morning, if Elijah hadn't been at the Brook Cherith, Elijah would never have gone forward to Mount Carmel and all the great miracles that we've seen in his life. I believe this morning, we want to take a little bit of time and consider from God's word here, that Brook Cherith here for Elijah was God's training school. It was his specific school of training that the Lord wanted to put him through so that Elijah would come forth as the man of God. A.W. Tozer said, it is doubtful that God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And here we find on this occasion, Elijah is taken away to this place called the Brook Cherith. And what's interesting about this is that if we read there in verse 1, what is Elijah known as? Verse 1, he comes on the scene and he's called Elijah the Tishbite, an inhabitant of Gilead. He's known by the place where he came from. It'd be like me saying to you this morning, oh, you're so-and-so from Lisburn Baptist Church, identified with the place that you live. But if you go down to the last verse of the chapter, it's interesting, Elijah is no longer called the Tishbite. Elijah, look what it says in verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. So I thought about that in his last few days. I would rather be called Paul, the man of God, than Paul, a member of Ballykeel Baptist Church. Would that not be your heart's desire this morning? To be known as a man or a woman of God, even more than you live in Lisburn, or you live in Hillsborough, or you live in Dromara. And the association, something happened in between the first and the last verse of this chapter. And we know that he would go on to the widow of Zarephath. But it began at the Brook Cherith. The Brook Cherith, his place of training. What did that place of training involve? Well, I believe, first of all, in his place of training, it involved sacrifice. Cherith is a beautiful name, if you know me. That's the name of my youngest daughter. She's called Cherith. You know, many people don't even think that Cherith was in a Bible name. My first two daughters were born, Miriam and Rachel. And when Cherith was born, I said, we're going to call her Cherith. And I said, well, why didn't you call her a Bible name like your other two? I says, I did. Go read your Bible. But the Brook Cherith, you know what it means? And my youngest daughter, she gets cross sometimes. Its primary meaning means to cut. What does that mean? The river or the Brook Cherith, it was a cutting. The water cut through the rocks. The water cut through the soil. And it means where the water cut through the land. It is a word that is beautiful in the Hebrew language, koroth, and it is used and translated elsewhere in our Bible, in the book of Genesis, where it is translated to mean a covenant or a promise. Think about it for a moment. How could you make a covenant in the Old Testament? You had to sacrifice an animal. Now, how did they sacrifice an animal? They cut it. And without the cutting, there could be no shedding of blood, and there could be no covenant, or there could then be no promise. And so that's what the word Cherith means. It's a cutting. It implies also a place of promise. This is where God took Elijah to. He took this Tishbite to a place where he would have to be cut down. Think about it for a moment. If we were living in the day of Ahab and Jezebel, that evil couple, you go read earlier and see how evil they were and how Jezebel brought in her false religion, her false gods of her father, and she brought it all into the land of Israel. And then one day, a little unknown man walked into the court and spoke to them and said, you are at fault. Your sin will cause this land to no longer see rain until I pray again. Could you imagine, as the news would get out, who would be the person in most demand? Everybody would say, I want to see this Elijah. No one else has ever spoken to that woman, Jezebel, and walked out with her head on their shoulders. He must be a special man of God. And you can imagine for a moment he would be in the talk of the town. He would be in the absolute limelight. And what did God say? Elijah, come here. Go hide yourself by the Brook Cherith. God wanted to train him. Realize in his own life that he was not the important one. God would take him to the Brook Cherith and to cut him down, literally to be hidden, to take away things in his life, to be cut off from others. No one likes that. And I believe the reason why many of us struggle in our Christian walk to become men and women of God, because we do not allow the Lord to cut away. We don't allow him. We don't like it. Remember cutting? Cut your finger. Cut your arm. It's sore. And God's desiring to mold us. And he took this Tishbite to the Brook Cherith. And a period of time later, he came out as the man of God. A man of God who'd be used, the first recorded miracle of bringing the widow's son back to life. But where did it begin? When he went to the place of training, the Brook Cherith, where God would cut him down to his size. Friend, are you willing to be used of God today? If you say yes, I need to ask you secondly, what are you willing to allow God to take away from you? To take away. That's what happened to Elijah. His place of training, it involved sacrifice. His place of training also meant for Elijah, it was a day by day, a step by step walk of faith. One day at a time. We find as we read in this passage that the word of the Lord in verse 2 then came unto him and said, Elijah, go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. You don't find in God's word here where he says, Elijah, go hide yourself by the brook Cherith, and in a matter of time, it will dry up. That God revealed to him what was about to happen in later times. No. God revealed to this man of God part of his training. Elijah, I'm going to tell you what you need to know for today. A walk of faith is a daily walk. Can you imagine if you had known, if you were an Elijah, that in a period of time, the brook would dry up? You would have been sitting worrying. You would have been sitting thinking of making a plan B or a plan C. But Elijah had to learn to day by day, live by faith, simply take the Lord at his word, at his promise, and enjoy the blessings that came from that. Friend, today are you living by faith? A step-by-step walk? Now, I'm not asking you, are you being fed by ravens? I'm asking you, are you living today for the Lord and only for the Lord today? You know how you can examine your own heart and measure yourself up this morning? I want to ask you, well, what are you worried about? What's your worries and your cares? William Elliott, in his book, For the Living of These Days, says the following. The reason why so many of us are overwrought, tense, distracted, and anxious is that we have mastered the art of living, we have never mastered the art of living one day at a time. Physically, we have no choice but to live one day at a time. However, emotionally and mentally, we live all three tenses at once. And that doesn't work. Friends, the Lord doesn't want us to be anxious and worried. The Lord desires that we walk day by day. And I believe because so many of us are worried about the past or the futures, God can't use us the way he would desire. Remember, Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. Didn't tell him it would dry up. Didn't tell him he'd then have to go to the widow of Zarephath about to cook her final meal and that it would be daily provided again. But just you today, Elijah, this is what you need to know. Are we like that in our Christian walk? Someone else has said about joy being a choice for today. He says, when you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it's hard. I'm not there. My name is not I will be. But when you live in this moment, it's not hard. I am here. My name is I am. Friend, Elijah had to learn to daily rely upon his Lord. To walk by faith, step by step, in the place of sacrifice. This was his training school. This was part of the beginning of that training that would prepare this man of Gilead, the Tishbite, to become the man of God. Friend, are you willing to sacrifice this morning? Are you willing to walk step by step on a daily basis with the Lord? And then also I want you to note, regarding Elijah here, that there's certain specifics that are unique to Elijah. What I mean by that, well, there'll be things that God asked Elijah to do that he'll never ask me Praise God for that. But there's things that God may ask me to do that he may never ask you. And Elijah was told to go to the brook Cherith. Told him, the word of God very clear. Who was the him? Elijah, I want you to go there. I have a unique place for you. And we're told in the Bible that he went and did according to the word of God. Now, friends, as many times Christians get discouraged, Christians get upset. They look around and say, why is the Lord blessing that person in that way? And all the Christians go, well, that Christian, he's living in sin and the Lord's not dealing with him. How do you know that? And many of us have got our eyes on all our people. You never train that way. If you go to the gym to work out to train, or you look at everybody else, no, forget about them. Look at yourself. And in this place where God was going to cut away, where God was going to teach him to trust him day by day, God had a very unique place. It's called the Brook Cherith for the man Elijah. I want to ask you this morning, what's your Brook Cherith? What training is God putting you through? What is the will of God in your life? Call it what you may, but do you know that you're in the right place before God this morning? Sad to say, many get discouraged when they look at everybody else. God's not interested in that. You know, I love it in the Old Testament. We hear of Enoch, that old saint of God in the Old Testament. Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God and he was not. Why? For God took him. What was the great thing that Enoch did? The Bible says he walked with God. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? You read on down in the book of Genesis and come to chapter 6 and then around verse 9. And the Bible says another man walked with God. And his name was Noah. Noah walked with God. But God didn't take him. What did God tell him to do? Build an ark. Both men walked with God. But God had a specific and individual training ground for each of them. Oh, friend, this morning, do not get discouraged when you see others in their life, whether good or negative. But we need to be focused and finding out, Lord, where's my Brook Cherith? Lord, where is the place that you want to train me, where you want to mold me, where you want to change me more into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I desire to become a man of God or a woman of God. It won't happen unless you're in the Brook Cherith. Think of the provision or the supply that came at the brook. It was a miracle that took place. A wonderful miracle that took place. Every morning and every evening, these unreliable birds, the ravens, of all the birds that God could have chosen, he chose a raven. Remember old Noah? He put the raven out of the ark and it was unreliable. And God chose that unreliable bird every morning, every evening to bring him the flesh or the meat. Think about it for a moment. Why? God could have sent one of the 7,000 prophets that had been hidden. Well, there in that time by the servant of Ahab, Obadiah, he could have brought them, but he didn't. God could have sent down an angel to cook him a meal like he would do later when he would run away from Jezebel, but he didn't. Because when Elijah was in that right place where God had called him, and it was not an easy place to be, God supplied his need. It was in a miraculous way. God had control of these unreliable birds. Each day as Elijah would look up, I was sure he thought, Lord, how do you do it? And they bring your food to me. Oh, you see, the place of training that broke Cherith. Oh, it's a place of sacrifice. It's a place where we need to walk step by step with the Lord. It's a place very specific to me. It's a place where God will supply my needs. Friend, it's also a place where there will be further surrendering of my will to His will. A place, I've already alluded to, where He had to sacrifice several things in His life. You know, when God wants to use us and mold us, we're too resistant to Him. And if I would put myself in Elijah's shoes this morning, and God would say, go to the brook Cherith, I think I would have argued with God. I wonder what Elijah said in between the bits we don't know. I said, God, you've used me. I spoke into that evil king and queen. Why take me away there? Well, friend, there's times when God needs to take us away into the still place to properly prepare us. The word of God is very clear. Be still and know that I am God. A beautiful psalm. It carries on to say, I then will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Why is the name of God not exalted in our world today? Because there's not enough men and women of God. Why is there not enough men and women of God? It's because many of us, me included, are not being still in the presence of God. We're not willing to make that sacrifice. We're not willing to allow Him to cut us away. We'd rather be with the crowd. But what did God do to Elijah? Took him away out of the limelight and took him to the place of stillness. And there God would mold him. God would shape him. Friend, this morning, are you willing to pay that sacrifice? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing? Are you unwilling to be still in the very presence of God? And as we read down the passage, we find not only these sacrifices that took place, not only the specifics for him, but it's an interesting thing that happens. What happened to the brook Cherith? Oh, read verse 5. It says, he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. And then verse 6 says, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank by the brook. Here's a man of God. He's in the will of God. He's doing what God wants. And everything seems great. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Could you imagine how Elijah felt? God, I spoke to them. I declared your word when everybody else is in fear of that evil queen. God, I turned to that brook Cherith in the back end of nowhere. And now the waters have dried up. Why, Lord? Well, very simply, with all training, it comes at a cost. Whatever training you take physically in your life, you try and train, you know, whenever I used to play football and rugby, you had to go to training. And it hurt. But it got you ready for the game at the weekend. Any form of discipline hurts you. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. Did the river dry up because Elijah had sinned? No. Nothing had changed. He's in the center of God's will. He's where God had called him to be. You look throughout the scriptures and you see men and women of God serving God, and their brooks or their rivers dried up. Joseph in the house of Potiphar. He honored his God. He ended up in prison. The Apostle Paul gathering up a love gift to take back to the church at Jerusalem in the book of Acts, when around all those Gentile churches, gathered up money, took some men, they kept the money for him, brought the money back to the believers in Jerusalem, and there was a riot and he nearly died. Why, Lord? Why? Why do you let the brooks dry up? You know why? Elijah, don't you trust in the ravens? Don't you trust in the gifts that I have sent? Elijah, look beyond the gifts and put your absolute trust in the giver himself. Well, you see, Elijah at the brook Cherith, the pain that would come here was all part of God's training. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament tells us in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed that God would take it away. God said no. Paul, it's part of your training, if I might paraphrase there. And what did the Apostle Paul declare at the end? For when I am weak, then am I strong. I believe the Apostle Paul is echoing what happened in the life of Elijah. When he was weak, then he was actually strong. Oh, friend, when we're putting our trust this morning in our Bible knowledge and our head knowledge of the Word of God, or we're putting our trust in our activities and serving the Lord, it means absolutely nothing. Oh, friend, here, these men realized nothing. Don't put your trust in anything other than the Lord God himself. This was part of his training. He went in as Elijah the Tishbite, an inhabitant of Gilead. And by the end of the chapter, he was known as the man of God. Oh, friend, my prayer for my life is that I will allow the Lord to cut away at me, whatever it may take, so that I could come forth truly as a man of God. To be still in his presence, to know him, and to see him exalted in this God-forsaken world. Friend, are you willing this morning to allow the Lord to change you, to train you, to go to your brook Cherith? Or are you resisting what the Lord would desire in your heart this morning?